Thank you, Lord, for the time that we spent in His presence, where we focus on the person and the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even each time that we do this, I think about what it cost our Lord Jesus Christ to give us that privilege of worshiping Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in Your presence, thanking You, O God. Thanking You for how great Thou art. Thanking You, God, for Your love for us. A love that we didn't deserve. But, O Father, we thank You, Father, because of Your love, Your grace. You, O Lord, sent the darling of Your bosom, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our room and our steps at the cross of Calvary. We thank You, God, for that message, O God, that we do have, we receive. And this morning, O God, even as we would deliver Your word to those around us. We do pray, O Lord, that we, O God, recognizing what it costs, recognizing, O Father, the power of our salvation, that we, O God, can live lives that are pleasing to You. That we, O Father, can live lives, O God, knowing that one day our Lord will return again and He will receive us unto Himself. We thank You for Christ's sake. Amen. Shall we turn our Bibles to Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me. Now, here is the Apostle Paul. Had a special passion for the people of Philippi, and he was called there when he got a strange call from somebody from Macedonian region. And he said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And we find this in Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And Paul obeyed, and he then went. And at that time, he was accompanied by Timothy. And he went and set sail to Philippi, and there he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the church was established. Now, he had a special passion for the people of Philippi, and there are many spiritual blessings that resulted from his service there. I think of one of the first people that were saved there, a lady known as Lydia. I remember her in Bible class, Brother Allwood. And she was a lady that would treat clothing to make it look purple. And it was a very fashionable thing at the time. And she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior through the ministry of the apostle. And not only did she accept Christ as her Savior, but subsequent to that, she served the Lord faithfully. Lydia then led many, all of her household, to know Christ as Savior, with the help, yes, of the apostles and his friend. But only that, but she also opened her house up to the church. Many people believe that the church in Philippi was possibly in Lydia's home. Now, things didn't go easy for the apostle then. There were difficult times. One particular episode took place when there was a young lady. Yes, she was a slave, owned by several people. And she was known to be, she had a spirit, an evil spirit in her. And she would use what she thought she had, and she'd use it in a prophetic way. In particular, one time, she actually said that these men, speaking of Paul and his company, that these men are following the Most High God, which was true. Paul was annoyed and told the demon to get out of that woman now. And the demon left. However, her owners weren't pleased because they would make a lot of money from her using that demon for their sake. And they then took Paul and Silas to the magistrates, telling them that he is doing things contrary to our practice. And the magistrates had them arrested. Not only had them arrested, but they were in chains. Yes, we see the Apostle Paul, who founded the church in Philippi, arrested and in chains. The thought that comes to me now is this. Brothers and sisters, do we strive and do we conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel? Are we willing to suffer for Christ? And we recognize this because it's important. If we claim Christ as a personal Savior, we ought to be willing to suffer for him. We ought to be willing to labor for him. We ought to be willing to work for him faithfully. In verse 27, the Apostle Paul, the message is here. The Apostle Paul declares, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And this portion actually speaks of the fact that regardless of how difficult things are, the important thing is that your conduct should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And let me ask you, how is our conduct? Is our conduct worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm speaking about our walk, our talk. I'm speaking about our lifestyle. Is the Lord pleased with it? Is it worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ with what he did for us, his suffering, what he provided for us? Is it worthy? And with this, we think of the Apostle Paul stating that we should conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven, or we should conduct ourselves as people worthy of the gospel. And I'll ask again, is our behavior, is our lifestyle one that's consistent with a heavenly lifestyle? We look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Can we just turn to that? For citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Yes, our citizenship is in heaven. And I like to think about that on a daily basis, because even as I travail this earth and go through problems, difficulties, I look forward to that day when these problems will be no more. I look forward to that day when I can look at my Lord who died and gave himself for me. I can look and tell him thank you in the way that I can do it. And we all can do that. And for that we say hallelujah. We say hallelujah. Not only that, but while we're here on earth, we recognize the importance of living in a manner worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean to say that our lifestyle here can be one of prayer. It can be one of praise. It can be one of faith because of what he has done for us. Because of the Holy Spirit who he has given us. The Holy Spirit who indwells us. The Holy Spirit who is able to lead us in expressions of prayer, praise, faith, and so many other things. Yes, the gospel is powerful. It is powerful. It can change a cruel person. It can change someone like me. It can make me to someone that the Lord is proud of, that the Lord is pleased with. It can make someone like me of someone that the Lord can use to his honor and glory. And brothers and sisters, the same goes to all of us who know him as our personal Savior. Yes, let our conduct be worthy of the gospel. And I'll ask you now, are we living a life worthy for God? Again, I read verse 27 of Philippians chapter 1. And it speaks about our lives that must reflect explicitly and implicitly the gospel of Christ. It speaks about proving oneself to be blameless and innocent children of God. It speaks of despite being in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we can hold fast the word of life. Proving oneself through our unity, our like-mindedness, and love for one another. And all this we can say thanks to the Lord for. Yes, we can live a life that is worthy to God. And it's a life that we've got to exercise it. We've got to do it. Because in doing this, we can show our unbelieving friends, neighbors, that there is a lot more to this world than we see by looking out. That there is a life that we can live because our Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible. I'll go on. What is worthy living? Worthy living is what we speak and we call spiritual integrity. Christians must maintain standards of biblical morality, of reverence to our Lord Jesus Christ. The names I hear, they refer to our Lord Jesus Christ on the street. It bothers me. I've got to move. I've got to leave the area. There can be no compromise with the character plan and will of our Lord. The unsaved must be able to look at the church and not, you know, and recognize that even as they look at us, that they see in us something that's different. They see holiness. They see purity. They see virtue. The church must be able to look at us and see among us members or leaders or activities that we carry out. And they must be able to see activities that does not involve lying, doesn't involve stealing, cheating, gossiping, quarreling, hypocrisy, or any unconfessed or unforsaken sin. Yes, we have got to have spiritual integrity. We have got to remember that this spiritual integrity that the Lord has given us, it cost him a great deal. And please remember that we are accountable to him. We are accountable to him. Now, there are four characteristics of believers who live a life worthy to Christ. And the Apostle Paul starts stood with one of them, standing firm. Not just standing firm, but standing firm for him, for Lord Jesus Christ. It also involves sharing with one another because of him. It involves striving together because of our Lord. And it also involves suffering for him. Yes, standing firm, sharing with one another because of our Lord, striving together because of him and suffering for him. By standing firm, we speak about holding fast in him. In verse 27 and verse 28, and I'll reiterate the latter part of verse 27, Philippians chapter 1. And we have there, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Correction, I'll go a little further up. That I may hear of your fears, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And verse 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation. Yes, we will, I may hear of your fears, as I said, and by standing firm, we mean holding one's ground regardless of any danger or opposition. It means strength amidst opposition. It implies holding fast to a belief, a conviction, or principle without compromise. And by this, I mean, if we are speaking about holding fast to the principles of God, I mean holding fast to his word. We mean obeying the word. We mean not only studying it, but studying it and obeying it. And there are many fixed matters of biblical truth and holy living. Now, there are dual implications there. We mean about standing for God and against Satan. We mean standing for truth and against falsehood. We mean standing for righteousness and against sin. Against Satan, for truth and against falsehood, and standing for righteousness and against sin. And he has equipped us to do this. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it tells us to put on the old armor of God, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And having just stand, we can stand. We can be victorious against temptations. We can be victorious against any sin that we have been tempted to be involved in. We can be victorious knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us, willing to guide us through. Yes, standing firm and pulled in fast. Another thing that we've got to do is share with one another because of him. We're speaking about unity within the church. Unity within the church. Yes, a sharing of convictions and responsibilities in one spirit and one mind. And we can see portions of this, and I just quickly turn for me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And our Lord, the Holy Spirit is promised here, and we can see that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and not only indwelt with the Spirit, but we are individuals that are special. Yes, the Holy Spirit promised at that time, and he has, as we know, he did descend, and he dwells within us now. The early church was an experience of unity among believers. There was an experience of unity. Those who believe were baptized, and they had things in common. They sold their property and shared their possessions with anyone who had need. And this is what we need to continue doing. It doesn't mean to say that we don't. It means to say that we continue to do this. We continue to do this for the Lord because we've been called to do that. And there's unity among believers in the church. Yes, at the Last Supper, a new commandment I give you, the Lord, I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Yes, the high priest with prayer, Christ prayed that all who believed on me, that they would be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. This is John chapter 17. In Romans 12, verse 4 to 5, Paul implored the factions church at Corinth, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no divisions among you. Yes, there must be unity among believers, and there must be no divisions. We then go from unity to striving together because of him. Yes, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read, let it be known to all of you that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, he is the stone which was refused by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Yes, we've got to strive together. We've got to recognize that there should be no division. There should be no schisms. Let's just remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the chief cornerstone that holds us together. I go on to speak about the fourth mark of conduct worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is suffering for him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, now is here near in me. Yes, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, he declared that if you suffer with him, okay, if you suffer with him, if we serve him, we've got to suffer with him. And at this point, it's important to remember that it's a privilege to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when we've gone through challenges, difficulties, and we do not feel depressed. We do not feel let down, because when we think of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us, what we are going through for him is nothing. In fact, he did declare in chapter 2, verse 20 of Galatians, that I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, are we serving the Lord? Are we willingly going to serve the Lord? Are we willingly to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willingly know that he will be with us through all this? I'm asking you today that even as we look back on our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, even as we look back on his many servants of what they have done for our Lord, can we not remember the importance of suffering for Christ, suffering for him, because he suffered for us, because we'll be rewarded for our service, because we do it to his honor and glory, for his name's sake. Amen.